March 4th, business insecurity, level one news. We can't say the word about the virus.
March 4th with level one.
Oh. I was like, I just said the date and then, oh.
No, that's terrible. So Amazon Prime is about the best thing in the world. If you don't have it, you're a loser. I was going to like bust Chris's balls, but I realized she does have it.
I have it through marriage.
She married into it.
Yeah. She married born into it.
She didn't marry into money, but she married into Amazon Prime.
Gosh, can you imagine the future in like 100 years if like Apple is still around and it's like, oh, wow, you married into you know, an Apple family. Like this family goes back 100 years.
They've still got the unlimited plan.
Yeah.
So it's no surprise that all of the other big distributors of, you know, goods are kind of terrified of Lord Bezos and his juggernaut, and they're constantly trying to think of ways to fight back against it. But sometimes they come up with an idea and there's really no details.
Walmart is quietly working on an Amazon Prime competitor called Walmart Plus.
Plus what? No one knows.
Well, you get free shipping, but Amazon Prime is a lot more than free shipping. So what's Walmart going to do for that plus?
The whole thing with Walmart, too, is like, I feel like Walmart's for when you're making bad decisions, not when you're trying to, like, think of things ahead of time and order them before you need them. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I'm moving and I need new hangers.
Yeah, well, the hangers that you buy from Walmart will just break down in 6 months.
But it's like, I need them now because, you know, I'm moving and all my clothes are on the floor. So, you know, I'll go here because I don't have time to wait for Amazon.
You know what? This is going to be a great... Oh, I can't think of the name of it. My joke is ruined. But it's like... The great thing about this is you can sign up for that free shipping and you can get on the subscribe and save for the methamphetamine precursor. What's the name of that? The cold medicine?
Sudafed.
Yeah, Sudafed. You can Sudafed and save. That should be a program that they do.
I've never understood how Walmart has problems competing with Amazon Prime, because Walmart has all these retail locations. Like, especially in our town, Walmart is a significant part of the economy. And so if you just need a couple of lackeys with vans delivering products, that's a logistics problem. Why do we not have that?
Well, they kind of tackle that in that article, because the margins are so razor thin, especially for Walmart, because that's their thing. Like, we're going to get you the lowest prices.
Lower prices.
Even if we have to break the knees of the suppliers. So where do you cut to pay the guys in the van?
I think you have to take a loss on that until you figure out the logistics. Like Amazon took a loss on being a bookstore for the better part of a decade.
I don't think the Walmart shareholders are going to tolerate that the same way that Amazon did, because, you know, that was like the big experiment.
Well, if they're not willing to tolerate it, do you want Amazon? Because that's how you get Amazon. Said it with the same tone. It's like, do you want ants? That's how we get ants.
So they said that they're not going to try to do the same thing that Amazon's doing with like video and, you know, media and stuff like that, because they know they'll lose that. But they are going to try. They're thinking about maybe giving you some money off your gas, which Kroger does already, and maybe giving you off some of your pharmacy purchases,
which Kroger does already.
Yeah. So
I think also the meal prep stuff is an opportunity for Walmart, because they get a lot of produce and crap like that.
Yeah, but is their customer
staff
base, do they want that?
Oh, they absolutely would.
Really?
Cause yeah.
Isn't that like high, like it costs more?
It does cost a lot, so like they would have to find a way to make it really cheap. But like if they could do stuff that's like pre-made food where you just have to pop in the oven.
Like, what if they did that? But because all those programs, it's always like, get the freshest ingredients and the recipes are kind of hipster, you know.
Walmart's like, get it done fast because your kids have a soccer game
today. Yeah, Walmart's like mac and cheese and Spam, you know, ready for the oven.
Hamburger helper.
Well, see, the crazy thing is that all of that would be the thing. You know how a lot of grocery stores throw out half of their produce because it just looks weird? They could use the stuff that looks weird to do the meal prep, the deli stuff, the bakery stuff. And then they would be selling so much of it that they would not have any surplus odd-looking potatoes or carrots or anything that they can't sell anymore.
Who are you going to pay to go through?
They have to do that anyway.
There's a scale that's like the ugliness scale for potatoes. And like if they look kind of ugly, you know, they have to go into this program.
The produce arbiter. What a great job that would be.
We could write the AI. We'll call it the produce arbiter, and it just ties in with the existing camera systems. And if somebody picks up a piece of produce and puts it down three times, it's flagged.
You know, that would be a huge app if we could build that. Because not for that purpose, but just people shopping around, it's like, I don't know what kind of coconut to get. Let me just pop my phone out here and look at the, and assign a score to each coconut.
But the thing with that, though, is like you have to know the firmness a lot of times of certain fruits and vegetables to like assess them correctly or like smell them.
You can tap the phone against it, and then based on the vibrations, we return a
score.
That's
how it knows.
I had a dream one time that we were trapped in a grocery store. Like the three of us were trapped in a grocery store, and everybody got an update, an app update or whatever, and we were still doing this, but it was like 10 years in the future. And it was for a video that we were doing for level one, and we were trapped in the grocery store, and somebody got an app update, and they got an advertisement that was like, doesn't some nice, you know, something, something raisins sound good? And we, like, you could hear it, but it was like, you know, they had the volume turned up loud, so you could hear it in other people's earpieces. And then everybody was like, oh yeah, raisins does sound good. But it was like everybody in the whole store, because they, you know, bought.
And they all swarmed into that section.
Yeah, and it was, but people were wandering around, and the voice or the AI or whatever was like, okay, now you need this. Okay, now you need this. Okay, now you need this. And then it was like, okay, to make this meal, you're going to need to get these things. And then people just weren't thinking. They were just randomly doing whatever the AI told them to do.
That is how I feel when I follow a recipe. My preferred method of cooking.
It's like, what would you like for dinner this week? I would like spaghetti. Okay, these are the ingredients we're going to buy. Sounds good, AI. And we were like trapped because the AI was like, you need to be a part of the AI thing. And we're like, we don't want to be. And the AI was like, no, you really need to.
This isn't as good as your dream where your house had a CSGO course behind it.
Well, it turned dark after that because the AI was like noticing us, and it was like, why don't you want to buy this? And so people were like, hey, what are you?
And then they got angry.
Yeah. And then we were just running around the store. We couldn't get out.
Do you often have dreams about feeling trapped?
Yes.
Anyway.
Speaking of people that are trapped.
And speaking of Amazon Prime, who is getting some record business, but maybe for the wrong reasons. Because some items are very in demand right now.
Amazon warns sellers not to gouge users on face masks as prices skyrocket on coronavirus fears.
Oh, you said it.
Oh, I did.
You read it. You just read it right off there.
It's hard not to. I mean, it's kind of an important thing affecting the world.
Coronavirus K.
So,
subtle.
I guess about a week two of the scare, I was like, I wonder, I'm curious. And I clicked on there and I thought, man, those prices seem high. But I had no frame of reference.
Of how high they could get.
Yeah, I didn't know how high they were like before all of this. But this article points out that despite the efforts that they're making, there are still some very, very overpriced masks going on.
Is the next story the one where they delisted a million items?
That was the same story. You're talking about the ones where they're like fake cures and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the same story.
Yeah, a million items delisted. Can you believe that? That's crazy.
A lot of them were claiming that it would help or it would cure or it was like disinfecting or something like that. You know, it's like a salt lamp that cures you.
Meanwhile, the White House invited that evangelical guy with his silver water cure, and it's just like, oh my gosh.
Listen, Amazon's, you know what Disney Plus can sell that Amazon doesn't have? Thoughts and prayers.
Big oof. Very big oof.
There's a lot of oofs coming out of that White House
right now. Amazon has lots of thoughts.
That's on Twitch, Krista. That's no, different.
No. Their whole thing is books, right?
Well, Twitch is owned by Amazon. That was the joke, right?
Oh, yeah. That would have been the funnier joke. Never mind. Disregard my book thing.
So, yeah. I think we are all in trouble here in the U.S. if we need masks, because they're just not out there. Yeah, there's until
we do have an ample supply here at the office.
Really?
Why?
We do.
Oh, from is that the for painting construction?
And stuff? Yeah, from all the construction.
Are those the right rated ones though?
It's fine particles. I don't know if they're biological.
It has to be like that N something or other.
Mm-hmm. I want the face shield people have made out of like pop bottles where they just put a pop bottle over their head.
Have you seen the high tech ones? It uses fans and positive air pressure. There's no seal. You just constantly have air flowing away from you.
Huh.
Wow.
Super expensive.
We do have two full respirator masks as well. with charcoal filters.
That'll be good for looting.
Yeah. Who gets those? What's the rule for that?
Well, you know, whoever goes out that day. That'll be a rotating scale. Another way that Amazon is looking to conquer the world is to take up some slack. Now, I think it was last week or the week before we talked about India. There are two companies with an iron grip on food delivery. And was it Walmart? Or no, it was Uber. Uber Eats was like, we can go here. And they're like, oh God, we can't compete with this. But you know who can?
Amazon is all set to enter India's food delivery market. So this is not Amazon going off on their own. Amazon is partnering with a local force, but it's going to take on Zomato and the other one that you were alluding to.
Oh, are these little blue origins on this vest? What is going on?
Oh, yeah, I've been trying to parse this image. It almost, like, if you look at it quickly, like, it almost looks like he has six fingers for a split second. He doesn't, but it just, like...
Christy, you need to get glasses.
I need to get my prescription updated. I haven't had it done.
So they point out there's an amazing statistic here. Okay, yeah. Now, the first part blows my mind, that the average order, and it says value per item, but that can't be true, right? No, it's got to be per order. The average order in the U.S. for food delivery, like DoorDash and all that, $33.
That seems insane.
I'm assuming buying for, like, other people. It's not just one
person. A household.
Person, right?
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. But the crazier statistic... In India,
a similar item carries the price tag of $4.
They are eating cheap
cost of
over living. There in India.
Yeah. Much lower in most of India.
Incredible. So how do you... Man, if you're working for tips over there, although I guess it all scales, right? Because your 50-cent tip is going to buy a bunch of food because food is cheap. We'll see. So far, the Indian government has not been very fond of Amazon or Walmart trying to get in there and make money.
It sounded like from this, it doesn't come right out and say it, but it sounds like because Amazon is going to employ a lot of local people and basically just Amazon is injecting cash into the local economy is how they're approaching it, how they're directly approaching it. It sounds like that's going to be compatible with the regulatory climate in India.
Seeing those videos of traffic in India, can you imagine what being a food delivery driver over there is going to be like?
You're literally stressful. Just risking your life.
Also, I have to wonder that if you're someone as wealthy as Jeff Bezos and the average order is $4, how much of a profit margin can you really expect on those orders? I mean, yeah, there's a billion people, but...
But you're also... You've got competitors who are already established.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't...
Is it more of just like getting his foot in the door kind of move? Like,
but again, he's so wealthy, like why would he even bother with this? This would be like Bill Gates, you know, inventing some sort of... You know, sewer robot thing to scour the sewer and look for change that's been dropped down sewer.
But trains. Think about this. Now, this occurred to me. What if all of a sudden, with Amazon Prime, you got free food delivery from all the local restaurants? You didn't have to pay that fee.
Oh, the ultimate recluse's dream. You can watch Amazon Prime shows.
Exactly.
But the margins, like, there's just not enough margin there to do that.
Well, you lose money on that, but you bring in all those Prime customers.
I mean, theoretically, you could make money, you know, salvaging ships from the bottom of the ocean. I just don't think it's a good use of his time or money.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give Mr. Bezos the benefit of the doubt there over you. Because he has a bit of a record of success when it comes to that kind of thing.
Is it that, or is it there's just nothing left to conquer? It's like, this is the next.
He was like, you know what? We're going to go to space. And they're like, all right, well, that'll take some time. He's like, what? All right, find me something else to do. Make me you know what? I want a supermarket with no people inside of it. And they're like, okay.
Amazon is opening a supermarket with no cashiers. Is Whole Foods next? That's what the interviewer asked him. And he was like, well, I couldn't say if that was true, could I?
So, yes.
You might be thinking... They already did this. This is an old story. No, that was a convenience store. This is a legit supermarket.
Have you ever been to a Whole Foods? It's magical.
Yeah.
That might just be like me becoming an older white lady sort of stereotype, but I do love Whole Foods.
The salad buffet thing at Whole Foods is like, I could eat those salads every
day.
So
good.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel going from Walmart to Meijer. It's like, wow, this place is clean.
Well, you go to Whole Foods, it's like, wow, everyone's like happy to see me.
Yeah, it's another step up.
Yeah.
Of course, the prices.
Well, it's also like an hour away from where we live. So.
Also, you guys ever try these? I love these.
I have not tried
the chicken stuffed chicken breast. Is it frozen? What is that?
It's frozen, but it's not cooked at all.
How did it know that you would be interested in that?
Because everybody loves these.
The algorithm, no. No.
They also make chicken Kiev, which is delicious, and a brie and apple stuffed one.
Ooh. I've been looking for something to augment my microwave chicken pot pie habit.
You can't microwave these. Oh, the chicken is raw.
I can't. I don't want to put an oven in the break room downstairs.
Then just get like a little easy bake oven. Just put it in there.
No. We got a little smattering of hardware news this week. And one is nothing but good news. How often does a hardware company double what you get and keep the price the same? Has it ever happened?
Yeah.
God bless them.
Raspberry Pi 4 Linux computer gets twice the RAM and a USB-C power fix. Well, the USB-C power fix has been there for a while, but it's the Raspberry Pi's birthday. It's the Raspberry Pi 4. You go from 1 gigs to 2 gigs for the same money. So you can get a $35 computer with 2 gigs of RAM, dual display output, $35. That's incredible. Oh, it's our old friend Brian.
Fajol. It's pronounced Fajol. Doesn't look like it, but that's how you pronounce that.
So, I recently got the Raspberry Pi 4, and I got the power over Ethernet hat.
Oh, but you got the 1 gig.
No, I got the 4 gig.
Oh, you paid more.
I did pay more.
But you didn't go to the 8.
No.
Too much? $55 too much for you? Folding phones are so hot right now. I don't know anybody that has one or wants one, but I'm told that they're really on fire. But they are also really expensive.
My new phone doesn't technically count as a folding phone. Thank you
very
much.
No,
I wasn't casting shade on you. Oh, okay. I mean, your phone's ridiculous for another reason. You know, whatever. Whatever makes you happy. I don't think you're chasing a trend.
Because you're chasing the other way.
Yeah, really.
I want to go back.
But let's say that you don't trust those folding screens, or you just can't afford the hot newest thing, but you want to be part of that world. You want that dual screen folding. Well, there's a solution for you.
Hands-on with LG's new V60 ThinQ, a huge phone with a removable screen that does not live up to its thin name. It's just two screens.
That just looks terrible.
And it's a case, and you can detach the other screen.
It's basically two phones.
What if you have to have a phone for work and a phone for like yourself, and then you have two of these?
But it's not two radios.
Yeah.
I know that, but I'm saying like... What if you have... It's like carrying four if you have to have more than one phone.
So here you can separate them.
Great.
Do you have
to charge them both separately then?
No, I think one feeds off the battery in the other.
If you get them like put together, they'll charge at the same time, but otherwise, yeah.
So I don't know who the...
What's the purpose of that? Yeah. Like, you could put, like, the camera stuff in one and the phone stuff in the other?
I laughed out loud when the article author said, I could text while watching a YouTube video. Okay. Sounds good.
Yay, you can multitask more.
Yeah.
In an already too fast world.
I don't get that one. And the timing may be poor to bring out something like that, as Samsung is finding out, because... The Wu-Tang virus has really infected Korea. They're having a tough time with it. And Korea is a big Samsung hotbed of purchases. Just like everybody here has an Apple, everybody there has a Samsung.
Samsung Galaxy S20 sales tank compared with the S10, and that thing was blamed. But it could also be because these phones are fabulously expensive.
$1,399, Krista.
Ooh.
How bad do you want one of those?
Considering my iPad cost less,
but look how attractive it is.
It is very attractive. What are the cameras? What are the cameras like on those?
Very good. All of the stuff.
Yeah,
in here
all
is
the
very
new stuff
good.
Is great.
Yeah, it's an 8K camera. So
we're living in a weird world now.
We are.
That is a 0.33% price increase over last year's offering. Whew. So phones are just getting ridiculously. I mean. Come on. We're going up a third every year now. And this might interest you, Krista. You talk about your iPad that you're so smug and happy about. But do you have a keyboard?
I did not buy a keyboard. I did not want one. I spent my... For the accessory, I got the pencil because that's what I was using
it for.
What
a loser.
Apple is working on an iPad keyboard that includes a built-in trackpad. But they haven't confirmed anything.
But... Who wants the trackpad?
But you don't want to get fingerprints on the screen. That's why they keep shying away from touchscreen laptops. It's the fingerprints.
But also, like, you could just use a mouse. Trackpads are terrible.
Why buy? You buy a tablet with a touchscreen only to not touch it.
Yeah.
And instead buy an how much do you think that's going to cost me? Like $500?
Yeah. Yeah, their keyboards are not cheap.
So, you got that to look forward to. Maybe for Christmas, you can get that.
Or I could get my fifth quilt / sleeping bag.
That's important.
And watch my husband just have an aneurysm. Because half our laundry room is just quilts and sleeping bags now.
And you can't use more than one at a time.
No, I mean, you can, but like there's a weight penalty there.
Oh, okay.
In terms of carrying it, but...
So, Clearview, we've talked about Clearview recently and the horror that it is. And I don't remember that we said this specifically, but I'm almost sure that we did. So much that I'll say that we did. The question that we have to ask and did ask was, what happens when these guys get hacked? Because it's going to happen, right? You can't, all that valuable data, and how do you protect it? And
foreshadowing.
We have the answer.
Apple has blocked Clearview's AI iPhone app for violating its rules. So you can...
Oh, you know what? I had no idea that this was not that story.
Yeah, but there's a story coming.
It's a spoiler.
So Apple has blocked Clearview's AI iPhone app for violating its rules. Because, yeah, it turns out that, you know, people that use the app, nah, it's not a good situation.
So this is the old story that Google busted some people for, where you can get the certificate, the developer certificate. And that way you don't have to go through the vetting process to get onto the App Store. Well, Clearview was like, oh, our customers are only law enforcement. We don't want this on the App Store, but we still want to give them this app they can go through. So you could actually like snap a picture of somebody and it'll go and search the face recognition stuff. And you got that if you signed up for the law enforcement plan.
And if it didn't find them, you were added to the database.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Apple says that's not allowed.
Yeah.
I wonder, though, do you think they... Because even if you downloaded the app, you can't use it without a login. So would they allow that on the App Store if it went through the proper channels?
I think, yeah. You can always add it as an enterprise application. There are ways to get around that. You just have to...
But will they now... Now that it's such a hotbed?
No. I think that it's, in terms of like the PR aspects of it, they'll never allow it just for PR reasons. I don't think Apple is actually legitimately interested in people's privacy. I think that it plays well.
Oh, it's interested. It's interested in violating it. We often talk about the scale of these big tech companies, and you know, we talked about those fines in the first episode. It's $200 million for the big media companies, and it's nothing because these guys operate on a whole different level of money, as this points out.
Google to spend $10 billion on offices and data centers in the U.S. this year. The search giant already has a presence in 26 states. I really want to know how many people they plan to employ. How much money is that per employee that they're going to spend on office space?
I think it pointed out how many they expected to employ.
My nephew, Robbie.
I don't see it. But yeah, they did say it'll be a lot of people, but it's not. I don't think it's going to be as many as we think in terms of $10
billion. Yeah.
They're going to spend a lot more on the real estate than they are on the next 10 years of payroll.
Which is more of an asset. Yeah, I was more curious if it's like, if that number is like $50,000 an employee or like $5,000 an employee or $1 million an employee.
I bet it's low. Or no, it'd be high.
Well, it's going to be high for average, but not like millions of dollars per employee.
But that, the real value there is the real estate and the buildings.
Yeah.
And, you know, the control.
look at Sears. Sears' most valuable asset was literally its store real estate by the time the management company was through with it.
They made some mistakes.
Just a few.
And another company that's made some mistakes, and the way that they made it was by some internal documents getting out that showed some embarrassing secrets, is Allstate.
Suckers list how Allstate's secret auto insurance algorithm squeezes big spenders. Insurers are supposed to price based on risk, but Allstate's algorithm puts a thumb on the scale. this is, if you only read one article for like the next 3 months, this is the one that you need to read, because this is what our dystopian algorithm-driven future, this is exactly what it's going to be. And auto insurance that's driven by apps, like run this app on your phone and we'll gauge the risk. That is never actually, like, short term, you might be able to save some money, but long term, it's going to be this article. So the article basically is, if you were a good driver, you would get a discount that amounted to pennies. And if you were an okay driver, they were going to charge you more. And if they thought you could pay more, not based on anything about your driving,
how much money,
they would just charge you more.
And it was also based on like auto pay and what else you had on the policy. So if you had a really expensive house and a couple of cars and a boat, they're like, yeah, just bump that up to the next tier. Yeah. They're never going to notice. And they were right most of the time.
Yeah.
People just comes out of the bank. They never think about it.
The algorithm was more than happy to overcharge you. But it turns out that the auto insurance industry is regulated in some states. So like Maryland doesn't have their head up their butt. And so the regulators in Maryland, who are probably now going to be fired and replaced with more incompetent versions thanks to lobbying.
Ex-Allstate employees.
They were like, this new algorithm that you're using is terrible, because they didn't know what the algorithm was doing. They were just saying, okay, here's the old algorithm and here's a particular customer. And so the old rate would have been this and the new rate was this. And so the officials in Maryland just went through that and were like, huh, that's weird. This algorithm is like trash. It's terrible. Even the people that are super low risk, this new algorithm is only going to give them a $26 discount, when under the old algorithm, it would be like $1,500. Something doesn't seem right about this algorithm, so no, we're not going to approve it. Meanwhile, other states are already using this algorithm, so you should check what state you're in and see what you're doing. But this is our algorithm-driven future, this right here, because it's like, oh, the algorithm says we should do this. But it's like, yeah, the algorithm is rigged in the first place. Like, some executive somewhere should go to jail for this, and it's not going to happen.
Executives don't go to jail.
Yeah.
They go to, like, tennis court jail.
I mean, if ever there was such a thing as, like, corporate fraud, it's basically fraud. Because insurance is not supposed to be like that.
And you are essentially compelled to have it. I mean, you can opt out, sure, if you don't drive, but that's not realistic here in the land of the free, unless you're in a really big city.
Are you saying insurance is a scam? No.
Apple, we have seen a lot of situations where Apple really, really plays hard when it comes to the PR game. Because after all, they are a marketing firm first and a technology company second. And they really want to make sure that they are cast in a good light, because they're really evil and you got to hide that. So this comes as no surprise.
Apple will let you use iPhones in movies, but, and this is very pivotal if you're ever watching a mystery movie, the bad guys cannot have an iPhone on camera.
That was not the title.
Well, it's...
Yeah. It's relevant.
I wonder if... Could you go back? Some of you have nothing to do. This is what you should do. Go back and watch movies from the past 5 years that have twist endings and see if that spoiled it.
Ooh.
Because that might be true, right?
Oh, now I'm going to have to pay attention to that every time I watch a horror movie or something now.
Which, in a way, Apple still wins because you're obsessing on iPhones and films.
That's true. Brand awareness.
I'm often shocked. Like, for example, Breaking Bad. How long was that? Like 5 years ago at this point? And that was during the NSA thing. We didn't know about it yet, but it was happening. And like, they're just on the phone talking about everything that they're doing, murders and, dealing meth. And I was like, I don't think real meth dealers would do that. That's stupid. That's a mobile phone.
Turns out, that was the one lead.
Goodfellas was based in the 70s, and that guy wouldn't use a payphone. I think we've already known about this.
The $100 million was for getting Heisenberg. Well, okay, and that, I guess, because we got Heisenberg, it was worth spending the $100 million.
But it is amazing how modern movies, like, a lot of the exposition can just be written away by them having a phone conversation.
Yeah.
Like, they can explain what's going on without having to...
Like, conflict would just disappear if people would just use, their brains and talk to each other as well in movies now.
And not lie to each other. Yeah, that's a constant thing.
I like some of those movies where the writer very cleverly... uses stuff like that to create a situation where the characters don't really fully understand what's happening. Like, one of them misunderstands the situation, and that can be used for comedic effect, or that can be a plot point or whatever. And that is a really clever way to incorporate mobile phones and communication and stuff.
Sometimes, though, it's like it's a crutch. I feel like I don't always like it when...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Because, like, if they literally just spent 3 seconds actually talking, like, or just someone asking a single clarifying question, the whole plot of the movie falls apart.
Now, when you say I should take care of him, do you mean that I should murder him and dispose of the body? Or do you mean... Oh, okay, that clears that up. Right, okay.
Roll credits.
Speaking of which...
We have done this story before. I don't know if they've taken new steps. It wasn't obvious. The answer is still the same. And I think this might have to do with the new spring Windows 10 version.
Well, they're still trying.
But it's worth mentioning either way.
Microsoft wants to do away with Windows 10 local accounts. No, this is not a repeat of the story from 6 months ago. There's a new Windows update, and they're doubling down on the whole, no, you really want a Microsoft account. Oh, we've detected an internet connection. We're not going to let you do anything unless you sign up for a local account.
So, you mean a Microsoft account?
Or a Microsoft account, yeah.
So, there's two ways around it. First way is to not ever plug it up to the internet when you do your first install. And I think there might still be like a little timeout period where it's like, I'm going to keep trying to find the internet. So just wait. And when it finally decides it's done, it'll let you create a local account. Your other option, create a Microsoft account, go into the settings, create a local account, then remove the Microsoft account and promote the local account into the
administration. Yeah, that's really convoluted. Yeah.
Most people are just going to register. Yeah. And that's what they know.
Yeah. Or you can switch to Linux.
Most people are not going to do that.
It would actually be less work than the whole go online, go offline, create an account, make it an administrator.
Although I'm sure that will turn, I don't know what percentage, probably less than one, but there will be a number of people who are like, okay, that's it for me. I'm done with this.
I was already experimenting with Linux, but I think I'm ready to take the next step.
I saw this headline and I was sitting there thinking, how the hell are they going to do this? What? How could you possibly... And it didn't occur to me that everybody has a phone. But if you don't have a phone and you're addicted to nicotine, bad news.
Juul reportedly plans to pitch the FDA an age-locked e-cigarette. Now, I couldn't get past the irony in the article because the FDA said that, oh my gosh, Juul, kids are using tobacco products more than ever. And you're marketing toward kids and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, does anybody have any, like, have you seen the tobacco ads aimed at children from like the 60s and 70s and 80s that are on archive.org? Have you seen those? This is not anything new, FDA. Have you been asleep for the last 70 years?
Well, to be fair, they did really crack down on that. And now that it's happening again, they're kind of...
So I assume the way that they already have something like this, but they're doubling down on it. And it's... just app connected Juul, how many minutes do you think it would take to get inside that thing and bypass whatever it is that won't let you?
Like 10 or 15.
Yeah, it's going to be trivial. And they're going to resell those on eBay and make a lot of money. Yeah. If you know a little bit about electronics, you'll go to jail for it, but you'll make a lot of money before you do. And it's ridiculous.
They're going to be busy with the Wuhan virus.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of compromised lungs. So. I bet it's tough. Like, there's probably a lot of those people who are quitting smoking with, you know, against their will, just because they
they're
have
trapped.
Well, not only that, but they have lung issues now.
Oh, yeah.
So, probably a bad time to invest in Altria, I think is the name of the company that owns all that. The other thing about the stock market crash that's happening for a reason we can't mention. Is a lot of people are saying, is this the top? Is it, you know, we were at an all-time high right before and then it just fell off a cliff, went down, you know, it was like 7% this week. Fastest drop since
2008.
1929.
Oh, wow.
And
it's like, oh, that makes you feel good, doesn't it?
I saw the earlier headline. I didn't see the revised headline.
The big crash.
The one that everyone talks about when they were eating like socks.
Yeah. But, and so a lot of people are saying, it's nothing, it's going to bounce right back. And we don't know because...
Store.level1 tech stack.
They won't have no disposable income to buy our merch anymore.
The contagion is probably the big thing. But one thing that you have to think about in terms of, like, what do the people on the inside think about this? We've seen a record number of CEOs step down during this time. The people are getting out at the top. And maybe the best of them all. Oh, I just hit my microphone.
Disney CEO Bob Iger resigned suddenly, capping his legacy with the Disney Plus launch. So, Bob Chapek, head of parks, is now CEO. Iger will continue as Disney's chairman and focus on the creative side of the business until the end of next year.
Look how photoshopped his image is there. He's like made with plastic.
Baby Yoda. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It does look very young there, doesn't it?
A little too young. Look at his hand. It's been airbrushed into oblivion.
So, let's read between the lines here a little bit. For those of you who think that, you know, we've entered a terrible phase with these superhero movies and stuff like that, he doesn't want to run the day-to-day operations of the business because he's going to be working on the creative. He's going to be making decisions about the Marvel characters instead of doing the accounting. That's this guy. This guy right here is going to be making the decisions about the Marvel Cinematic Universe Star Wars.
He was very successful with Baby Yoda, after all.
Was that his idea?
I think he did animation stuff prior to becoming CEO.
He's always worked at Disney.
Yeah.
Which is impressive.
By doing this, he's removed his head from the guillotine that would have been reserved for him. As a CEO.
He also can now, like, sell his stock and crap like that. And now's the time to be selling your stock if you have a lot of it.
I think last week was the time.
Probably buying a lot of gold bullion. notice the central banks buying a lot of gold.
Time to get that compound. We got to get it going.
China's been doing that for years. Yeah. If it goes to that, China's got more, I think. Who knows if we even have any left? There's a lot of questions about that. I thought about cutting this story, but it is pretty fascinating what's going on here. And we've talked about this place before, this aeroponics. And I think when we first started doing it, they were just starting it up. And I was like, well, who's going to buy this? Oh, well, now we know.
Singapore Airlines is using aeroponics to upgrade in-flight meals. So, yeah.
So, just incredible. Look at this. This is LED lighting and misting sprays of water. This is not hydroponic or aquaponic. They're not, the roots are just hanging there and they mist them at perfect timing.
There's no soil.
And there's just giant warehouses. You can move these things around.
The water isn't just water though. It has nutrients and nitrogen and crap like that.
That's the other thing. They claim that they can customize your produce to add different flavor profiles.
Yeah. Just based on what would have... So the cadmium component is what will be necessary to reproduce the flavor of good old Kentucky corn.
And they point out, if you have a salad on an airline, it's generally... Look how exciting that is. Generally been in packaging for 5 days. But on Singapore Airlines, it was harvested yesterday. I've hit my microphone. I'm emoting too much.
Have you watched the guy on YouTube who does like the flight, like the fancy first class flights, and then he like shows you what all you get?
I've seen a video about that, and it wasn't a guy that does it all the time.
No, those are great.
It was shocking.
Yeah.
Because the guy was like, I'm going to take a little nap here. Can I get some pajamas? And they brought him out silk pajamas.
Yeah, and like the whole like chair folds down into a bed, and like they have a private compartment.
Yeah, he had a separator. Like when he decided he'd go to sleep, like his whole little thing, that's just like a big separator went up to separate him from the rest of the cabin.
Yeah.
So he could sleep nicely.
Meanwhile, last time I flew, we were struggling with leg room the entire time.
But some of those tickets are $25,000.
Yeah.
That's almost the cost of my college education.
Yeah, I've thought about that. Not anything that's that. But like that flight to Taiwan, it's like the business class. And then like the business class is like this weird little like diagonal thing that's not quite as nice as that.
Oh, but, not nearly as nice as that.
And it only takes up about 2 seats worth of room, but it's 3 times as expensive. And it's just like, oh.
Yeah, and they're, at least on the flights I've been on, it's like back here in coach, you know, you can see business class from there. And the business class really is just like what all the chairs should be.
If there was an airline ticket that was like, we're going to give you some drugs to knock you out and just make sure that you don't, like, that you turn over and that you're not going to have, like...
vomit and swallow it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, and then we'll wake you up when you get there. I would do that ticket.
Well, you know...
That's why they have airport bars.
On the bright side, there's never been a time like right now to save on airline tickets. If you're a bargain hunter.
I have some friends who are, like, getting married, and they're afraid because they're like, you know, we were planning on going to Italy for our honeymoon. Oh, and they're like, yeah, we're going to have to cancel it.
You know, you could really get some bargains, though.
Engagement challenge. How are things in Italy? For those of you that are watching from Italy.
Good question.
How are things? Is now a good time to visit or no?
I don't think so. Well, here's the question. You're going to go and you're going to have a good time. And it's going to be super cheap. Everybody's going to be nice to you because, you know, tourism is going to be. But do you have time to wait 40 days when you come back?
Yeah.
To get back into the country?
You quit your job after you get married because that's going to work out.
It is sort of unsettling that some of these people have been in quarantine for 20 days or 28 days or whatever, and they let them out of quarantine, and then they test positive, and it's like...
How long is the incubation period?
Yeah, it's scary. And if you are in quarantine, who's going to feed your pets? That's something you got to worry about. And you might say to yourself, I don't worry about it. I got one of those automatic feeders.
The cloud. The cloud is going to feed my pets.
I'm high tech. I'm going to get on the camera. I'll make sure they're eating. Everything's going to be good until it's not.
PetNet goes offline for a week and can't answer customers at all. So these are IoT pet feeders because... The pet feeder should have to check in online constantly in order to feed pets on a set schedule. And
because you get a pet to ignore it and then just have it auto-fed.
Well, to be completely fair, it turns out that the pet feeder would actually keep feeding the pet on a schedule if you don't reboot it. Apparently, it has to check in with the internet and can't remember anything. So if you restart it because it can't connect, then...
But the app can't connect to it.
Yeah.
So if the first instinct you have when your app won't connect is to restart it...
You're screwed.
You've just destroyed it.
Yeah. Look at that good boy.
These dogs look like just dirty rags. Look at them.
They do get very messy very quickly.
Those are the worst kind of dogs in terms of, you know, fur.
It won't feed me. Why? What did I do wrong?
Now, I can't use this kind of solution because one of my cats eats the other cat's food and he won't defend himself. So I have to sit and watch them. While they eat, to make sure that doesn't happen.
Rue makes that sad face, like, even after she's just eaten. She's like, why haven't you fed me? And I'm like, I just fed you.
When it comes to mergers and acquisitions, it's almost bad, almost always bad for the customer. But it can be even worse when big data gets even bigger. And perhaps worse still, when that data is about our money.
Intuit confirms that it is buying Credit Karma for $7.1 billion in cash and stock. So Intuit likes big data, and they cannot lie.
Okay.
I'm trying to think, like, I can't, like, you other what can't deny. I can't think of the word to put in there.
Financial analysts.
Doesn't the syllable
roll
count
off the tongue?
So Intuit, of course, they make QuickBooks and accounting software and tried for years to supplant the accounting industry as a whole. They ultimately failed at that and were like, maybe we should work with accountants instead. But the fact that they're going to have access to literally a credit reporting agency suggests that they're going to have a lot of information about, you know, your average spender. Anybody with a credit account, really, or a credit file. I forget what that's called.
Credit score?
Credit record? Credit score? It's a mess.
Yay, they're going to advertise to you with it. Facebook loves it. Microsoft has the, we got the new consoles coming out. Is that this Christmas?
Supposed to be, but...
Oh, yeah.
There's a little bit of a manufacturing
Wuhan
problem.
That's true.
Wuhan Tang Clan.
Well, assuming we do get them eventually, we've got some more information about what will be inside of them. And you fanboys will just be ready to cream your pants over this one.
Microsoft reveals more Xbox Series X specs. Next generation Xbox boasts 12 teraflop GPU.
And who's going to make it?
AMD.
Oh my God.
Zen 2 and RDNA.
Interestingly enough, they talk about the ray tracing in this article. But wait. That's not RTX.
It's RDNA 2.
So, yeah, 4 times more powerful than the Xbox One, they say. What was the jump between the last generation? I don't even remember. I think it was like 5 times, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The curve is narrowing.
Somebody correctly pointed out in the article that 12 teraflops is approximately as much GPU horsepower as a 1080 Ti, which is pretty good for a console.
Yeah, but by Christmas...
A 1080 Ti and for like, you know, $350, $400?
Nah, I think it's going to cost $500.
Still, if it's going to have flash and all the other stuff, a complete PC for $500 with a 1080 Ti?
They do say that it's. They might be looking to lose money on that and make the money back on like the monthly service.
It'll be the original Xbox launch all over again. Can we get it, hack it, and put something else on it? That'd be nice.
Well, speaking of Microsoft and getting into other realms of computing, it's not new for them. But it's new that they have a browser that isn't absolute trash. And the reason it's not is because now they've just adopted Chromium. But Google is not too happy about that. Because essentially you're getting the same experience, except Google says, no, it's not the same.
Google is pushing Chromium Edge users to switch to Chrome. Because Chromium, the Edge, has all of Google's analytics and tracking stripped out of it.
Oh, so and obviously not nearly as lucrative.
And replaced with Microsoft's.
So, they're going to give you some messages. They're going to say, hey, wait a minute. Don't you want Chrome? Wouldn't you love Chrome? This is funny because you have to think back about that WordPad advertising. So, hey, you live by it and you die by it.
Don't you just want to use Firefox?
They claim that...
Use Firefox.
One of the things they claim is, so if you get one of those bad apps from the Play Store, which... They kind of admitting, hey, there's a lot of bad apps on the Play Store. They can monitor those and disable them remotely if you use Chrome, but not if you use Edge.
If you use Edge, it's going to be up to Microsoft to remotely disable those extensions. And we all know Microsoft is not paying attention. Meanwhile, we've got a story at some point that talks about the most dangerous app store on the internet. Google's number two.
But if you think about that, if you like step away from it for a minute, you think about that, they're saying, hey... You should use our browser because we can remotely control your settings.
But it's like,
and we'll keep you safe. Trust us. So,
what a boring dystopia.
Call of Duty, man, I tell you what, I'm so out of touch with Call of Duty because there's a new one every year. I have no idea where we are. I don't know what Is there a story anymore? I know that. One
you should
of them
listen to these leaks.
They're going to do Battle Royale, and the only reason I know this is because I read this article. Oh, your timing.
Activision subpoenas Reddit to uncover mysterious Call of Duty leaker.
This is not the first time this has happened. Duty leaker. That sounds like somebody after too much kale.
Well, that would be very firm.
Yeah, that's good for you. It's like fibrous.
So, some guy found a clip that shows that they're doing Battle Royale in the new Call of Duty and posted it, and it got a ton of attention, which seems like free advertising. But Activision, none too happy about it.
So we need to know who this was. Who leaked it?
Punish them.
Yeah, and they used copyright and lawsuits and really went after this guy. And this article points out a history of anytime anybody posts anything about these games, they just get the full brunt of that legal department. How does it feel, Krista, that you support them so much?
I mean, I bought the game like 4 years ago now.
Yeah, but your engagement.
I don't know that it means that much to them.
So much engagement.
I don't spend money on loot boxes.
They look at your loot boxes that you're piling up and they're like, oh, what's wrong with her?
Why won't she even open them?
Are you guys hip to the whole Peloton thing? Taking the world by storm. I don't understand it. My understanding of it is it's an iPad attached to an exercise bike. Is that?
There was an advertisement at Christmas where the woman looked like she was being held hostage.
I remember that,
And I think that's what brought all the brand awareness. And some, Wendell, would say that that's probably some sort of horrible master plan where it's like, we'll do a really weird commercial and then everyone will know our brand.
That was totally on purpose.
It was so successful that they had a competitor, Flywheel, who made the same kinds of bikes, and they said, you know what? We have a lot of money. Let's leverage that.
Flywheel owners found that their bikes were bricked remotely through Peloton. So basically, they didn't even mention in the headline. What was the name of the company?
Flywheel.
Flywheel. Yeah, it's in the headline.
Oh, is it actually Flywheel?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, Flywheel owners got an email from Peloton that was like, hey, good news, Flywheel settled their patent suit. Bad news is your bikes are going to stop working next week.
And the patent in question, an iPad attached to a bike.
Yeah.
Literally. No one had thought of that before.
So I think we at Level 1, it gave me a really awesome idea for a video. We should hook a Raspberry Pi up to just like an old school, like 1950s Flywheel bike. And make something very similar to, but for the purposes of copyright, distinct from Max Headroom. I would love to have an AI Max Headroom that is giving me coaching on using the Flywheel bike powered by a Raspberry Pi.
You gotta somehow get the metrics from the bike to the Pi, though.
We can do that. There's general purpose inputs that could be used on the Raspberry Pi for that.
So the deal was, okay, you bought a Flywheel bike. These bikes are expensive, by the way. I think the Pelotons are like $2,000, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what the Flywheels cost, probably a little less.
Just buy a regular bike.
So you buy it, you agree to the online agreement just to turn the thing on. And I don't know, is there a subscription cost?
I think so.
So all of that, you go through all of that, you're using your bike, you're having a good time, and you get a choice. You get emailed a choice. Either take a refurbished Peloton, or we're turning it off next week.
Yeah.
And that's why you just buy a regular bike.
I can't wait for the story next week where some nerd got that email and was like, I'm going to hack it with custom firmware. You can download my firmware from this website and everything will be fine again.
Oh, that's a lawsuit.
Yeah.
We'll report on that too.
That's a bad time. Well, I couldn't help putting this one in there because, well, it's an electric car, so that's definitely technology. I mean, cars are technology on their own, but this little guy is just too adorable. Although, in my opinion, completely useless.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the use case is here.
This tiny electric car looks like a washing machine and costs just $6,600.
Look at it.
It's so cute.
28 miles an hour is the max on that thing. I think, like a 40-mile radius.
It's basically just a nice golf cart.
Maybe it was 40 kilometers. Do you see any heat in here?
We were trying to figure that out, because it's like, if it doesn't have heat or cooling, like even as just like an urban transporter, it wouldn't have a lot of utility.
It has a strap for a door handle.
That's a luxury strap, though. Good news is, you don't need a license to drive this because it's such a pile of shit. So, if you got a teenager...
DUI friendly.
That's true. If you have too many DUIs, this would be such a... like, just embarrass people by having to use this instead.
Maybe that's why people are drawn to the Pendleton bikes, because they're like, you know, I don't want people to think I have a DUI if I'm just riding my bike around town.
I suppose. Also, if you don't have that $6,000 or $6,600 to put forward to it, they have a lease program, $22 a month.
Oh.
I wonder what the used market, the off-lease market is for those things. Probably like 2,000. Right. SpaceX continues to test their Starship, and this week, a bit of a setback.
SpaceX's Starship SN1 prototype appears to burst during a pressure test. So this is a video that made the rounds on the internet. Elon Musk hasn't said anything. Although he might have by the time this came out.
You got to say that, you know, that's the reason you test, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to fault them when something blows up because you're...
No, they should be perfect first time, always.
I mean, what if Mad Mike had done a little testing?
What if they were just testing it to the point of failure and they actually were able to get it to 7 times the rated pressure or whatever because they were just testing it to the point of failure?
I think we would have gotten a tweet about that.
Yeah, there's no way that would have just slipped under the radar and not been tweeted about.
This is the story that I alluded to earlier because I didn't realize we had two Clearview stories. But this is the big one, and I already said it all, but
to
quickly reiterate, the worst thing that could happened.
Clearview AI reports breach of customer list in a notification to customers. Clearview said the intruder gained unauthorized access to the list. So remember how they said that they were only selling to law enforcement? It turns out that list also included banks and hotels.
Oh, but banks, they don't need it. Who are they going after? Debtors?
Banks or law enforcement?
Oh.
Oh, no.
What is she looking at?
I've been looking at that picture. I'm mesmerized by it, but I don't know what she's looking at.
I think it's
or not, what it's supposed to represent.
I think this is like the AI's view of the person. It's like,
no, okay.
Oh, I thought she was the AI.
I guess this is the scan line right here.
I guess.
So yeah, this is embarrassing. Not only because, you know, everybody was like, "What are you going to do if you get hacked?" And they're like, "No, we're secure." But also because it's now we know exactly who's using them, and it's
not just law enforcement.
I'm sure there's going to be some politicians real interested in this.
Why would they lie about that? Oh, wait.
App stores. So, it's every security news we have some rogue app that's stealing your data or stealing your bitcoins or installing. It's just a dropper for malware, whatever. It's just week after week after week. But where is safe? The answer is actually kind of depressing.
Report identifies the most dangerous mobile app stores on the internet. Number one is Nine Games. It's a quote-unquote app store for free games for Android.
Had you ever heard of Nine Games?
No, I've never heard of
that. Number two is Google, of course, the Google Play Store.
That's not surprising.
Nowhere in the top six is the Apple Store. Apparently, the walled garden is working in terms of security. Although, the Google Play Store really is just such a dumpster fire. I mean, if you just search flashlight application, 90% of those are trying to do terrible things to your phone.
There's already a flashlight on the phone.
I need a brighter flashlight.
Better.
I need a flashlight app that also is a fart app.
I need that dual functionality in my life.
And a Monero miner. But not for me.
Yeah, for somebody else.
I need an app that burps the alphabet.
A little too close to home, Krista. This is, so if you look at it per capita, Google falls off the list because they're so massive and they're so just like let everybody in. It's really only a tiny percentage of people who are malware on them. But still, is that
still something better to celebrate? Yeah.
So you got to watch out when you go to those app stores. I install very few apps these days. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And most of them are dumb anyway. Personally identifiable information, that's the hot new keyword everybody's looking for. And the governments are like, oh, we can't have it. And so Amazon, obviously, has just built a robot to fix it.
Amazon Transcribe can now automatically redact personally identifiable information. How does Amazon Transcribe know when it's hearing personally identifiable information? Because it already knows all the personally identifiable information for literally everybody on the planet, thanks to Amazon Prime.
Hey, this is an address. And by the way, that's their old address. You should update that.
They also really like Nestle water.
So that's nice, I guess. Don't really think it's going to affect our lives. But one thing that is going to affect your life is if you're a PayPal user and a Google Pay user at the same time, because there's a bit of a problem.
PayPal accounts abused en masse for unauthorized payments. It has something to do with the Google Pay and PayPal integration. As of the time that we're recording this, the precise bug has not been identified, but it's being exploited actively. So if you have Google Pay integration to PayPal, you may see unauthorized Google Pay entries in your PayPal, like as if Google Pay, your account has authorized Google Pay. So
it's only in Germany right now, though, for whatever reason. They suspect that, so Google Pay does that thing where it creates a brand new credit card for PayPal when you set it up. I think maybe every time you use it. So that way you have a rotating credit card. And they think that somebody has figured out a way to grab that credit card data. So you go to pay, and they get your credit card information. At least it'd be easy to identify, because every transaction would be a different card that would have to be stolen. The last week we talked about the Samsung 1-1 fiasco. All of us got it. And a lot of people were like, hey, this was an error, obviously, but could this point to something a little bit more serious? And they're like, no, never. Listen. We're Samsung, and we take that seriously. And this week, they were like, except...
Samsung cops to data leak after unsolicited 1-1 find my mobile push notification. Tight-lipped chaebol? I don't know what that word is.
Chaebol. I've never seen that before.
Still I think it's a Korean word, but I don't know what it means.
Still won't talk about the dodgy app, though.
It's not a proper noun.
Samsung has admitted what it calls a small number of users could indeed read other people's personal data following last week's unexplained Find My Mobile indication.
Google it.
We're gonna Google it.
We're distracted.
We have to know.
We've only done an hour so far.
It's important.
Is that right?
Yep.
Oh.
Well, you could probably just put Shable.
Shable 5. I pressed the OBS button. Oh, it's South Korean. A large family-owned business conglomerate.
But well, why was it not capitalized in the article? Because that would be a proper noun.
No. It's...
it's a generic now.
That's just describing.
Oh.
But they're mixing languages.
Yeah.
Oh, that's confusing. Neat. That loan word hasn't made it to English, at least not this part of the English-speaking world.
In America, we would call that a cabal.
They're trying to make it a thing.
Wait.
So this...
that is cabal.
Is that cabal? Is that
spelled? You think that's how it's pronounced?
I've only ever seen it spelled K-A-B-A-L.
No, that's definitely not the English word.
Okay.
Yeah, so that looks like a Korean word.
But that might be how it's pronounced.
Mm. Oh, I'm so
any
lost
South
right
Korean
now.
Speakers in the audience? Anyway.
I feel like we've reached new depths of like dumb American stereotype. Like,
No, they said it's a South Korean word.
I
think
know.
We've just confused ourselves
and
the audience. Let's move on. Just know that I was only like 150 people affected here. Did you mention that? So it's not that big a deal, but.
But a lot more people than that got the 1-1 notification.
Yeah, they lied about it. They're liars. I don't know if they were necessarily connected, the two events. And finally, Airbnb. Now, Airbnb, we know because we've done several stories about it, has a little bit of a spying problem.
Right.
People, they love their houses, and they get weird when other people are in their houses, and yet they rent them out.
That's odd.
That's odd, right? And they have a problem with partying. A lot of people rent a house and just get wild. And invite a bunch of people. So what do you do? How do you find the line between privacy and stopping parties? They think they have the answer, but it's kind of terrifying.
Airbnb is pushing surveillance devices as quote-unquote party prevention. The company is offering discounts on devices that alert hosts when there's an unusual amount of noise. So Airbnb, you can actually have surveillance devices in the Airbnb as long as they're disclosed, but they're not allowed in bathrooms or bedrooms, as you might expect. So this is kind of a compromise. They want to have this thing listening, but listening for noise, they say, not listening for conversations.
But it also has a temperature sensor, because if you pack a bunch of people into a room, it's going to raise the temperature. Clearly, I think the solution here is to only have parties in the bathroom of your Airbnb.
Whoa! No one's having a good time because they're all crammed in there.
And when somebody has to pee, it's a real downer.
Or worse, you know, that spinach dip went right through Sarah.
Don't look at me. I can't go if you look at me.
We're back to Call of Duty leaks at that point.
Yeah.
Is that going to have to be the title?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to forget that, though. We always say that'll be the title, and then we forget.
We might get demonetized for that. Of course, we've already said the unsayable name.
Duty leaks. Is there some play on duty calls?
Can you get away with COVID 19?
No.
Is that also banned?
Yeah.
Wow.
Shanghai sneezes.
We'll just go with Wu-Tang flu, I guess.
Yeah.
Think how long would it take for the algorithm to adapt to that? Because I don't know if anybody else is using that.
Barbie Dreamhouse.
Friday is going to be nonsense, of course, and robots.
Fun.
We have another one of these to do?
Damn, it's getting late. Chris, say bye.
Love you guys. Bye.